Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job, building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So I want to continue to build on the knowledge that we've already gained from building the I Love Cupcakes app. I want to focus on some slightly more advanced ideas so that we can create an even more advanced app. So in this lesson, we're going to discuss the technique that's required to save a text file to the phone storage and then open that text file and read out the contents. And there are probably several different ways to do this, reading and writing to the file system of the phone. For example, if I were working with binary data, like an image file, for example, we would probably go about this completely differently. But for our purposes, we want to merely save application data. So in our case, representations of an object graph. And what we want to do is basically take a in-memory object graph. So we created a bunch of instances of a given class. We have them in a collection. We want to serialize those into some format that we can then save to disk. So, for example, if it were a contact management app, it would store the names, the addresses, the phone numbers, the email addresses, and so on for our acquaintances, friends, or business partners. And then the next time, whenever we need to look up their contact information, we can just search for their name or the company that they work for. So we need to figure out how to take that object graph as we create new instances of a contact and then persist those somehow to disk. To do this, we're going to need to serialize the data. So serialization is the process of representing an object graph that's in the computer's memory or the phone's memory into a stream, a memory stream that then can be written to the file system in a file to disk or whatever you have, and yet keep each instance of the given object in memory distinct from all the others. So it keeps all of its states, like its property values for a given object, as well as its relationship to other objects in the object graph, intact. So the content of the stream is really based on which class in the phone API that you choose to perform the serialization. There's a couple of popular ones that are available for you in the phone API. In this lesson, we're going to look at the data contract serializer, which will convert our object graph into XML. And we'll also take a look at the data contract JSON serializer, which will do the same thing, but put it into a JSON file format. And so these classes can also do the opposite as well, which is deserialize a stream of basically a string back into instances of a given class, back into an object graph that we can then bind to and use in our apps. So once we've serialized a stream of objects, we can then persist it to storage. Now on the phone, each app has a designated area where data for the app should be written and read from, and that's called the local folder. The local folder is the root folder for your app's data store. So you use this folder to persist the data from your app onto the phone so that it can be recalled later on. In addition to general data storage, there are also some subfolders that should be used for specific scenarios. There's a couple of good articles on MSDN that will explain this in greater detail. Let me pull this into view here. And so the first one is actually this one here. This quick start working with files and folders in the Windows Phone 8. And I realize this is for the previous version, but most of these concepts are still true. They haven't released the time of recording this, the updated version of it, but it should get you close to where you need to go, okay? And I found this quick start to be very helpful when I was first trying to understand how the phone stores application data and other media. And then there's this other web page as well, Data for Windows Phone, which I found pretty useful. And so as you can read through the explanations here, it will pretty much say what I'm about to say, except I'm going to kind of abbreviate them. You access the local folder through a local folder object. It's actually in the namespace windows.storage.applicationdata.current.localfolder. So you do something like this as you see on screen. Applicationdata.current.localfolder.openstream for read async, and then you give it the file name. And you can also So that's to read data from the file. Here's how you would write data. Application data.current.localfolder.openstream for write async. So for read async versus for write async. You give it a file name and then you tell it, you give it a creation collision option. And so these will basically open a stream that will read contents from the file or write the contents of a stream to the file respectively. As you can see, whenever you're opening a stream for writing, you have some option regarding the file name collisions. So this creation collision option enum has the following values. Open if it exists, fail if it exists, generate unique name, or replace existing. So open if exists will basically just, instead of writing the file to disk, it'll just open the existing file with that name. Fail if exists will throw an exception whenever you try to write a file that already exists with the same name on the file storage or on the local folder. Generate unique name will do just that. It'll just generate a file name for you, and then replace existing will overwrite the existing file with the same name no matter what. And that's the option that we'll choose throughout this series. All right, so there are two basic components. You need a stream to read a file into, or a stream with the data that you want to write to the file. So a stream is the in-memory representation of a file. Then you have the phone API methods that operate the physical storage of the phone. There's also one other optional part, the phone API classes and methods that perform serialization and deserialization. So what I'm going to show you will apply even if you don't need to write and read data that will ultimately be objects. You just need, you know, like a text file written, like a note, okay? It would work in that case. But if you want to actually deserialize that string information you read from the file back into an object graph, you're going to need to use those phone API classes that we talked about a little bit earlier. And they will both write the object graph to the stream using a particular serialization scheme, whether XML or JSON or binary or what have you. And they perform the corollary operation of deserializing that stream from XML or JSON or binary or whatever the case might be back into a full object graph. So to demonstrate these pieces and how they work together, I want to create a simple app, a simple example, and we'll just use a blank app template, and we're going to call this storing retrieving serializing. Okay, and the first thing that I want to do is to start by laying out our mainpage.xaml's design. This 36, pull that over, that's good enough. And I already have some code on my clipboard, I'll just paste it in. Let's scroll over a little bit here. All right, so you can see that all we have is a stack panel with a little spacing here, and then two buttons and a text block which has nothing in it. We set the text wrapping equal to wrap because we're going to have a lot of text and we want it to flow down throughout the body of the entire the rest of the page here. But we have a write button and a read button, and so I'll go ahead and just go to both of those definitions. And it'll create the stub for the event handler for both of those. We'll come back to that in just a moment. The next thing I want to do is add a class, and this will represent a class that we'll create instances of and eventually serialize and deserialize using. And it'll be very, very simple. You've seen this particular class many a time. The car class. And I'm just going to not take the time to type all this out. I'll just paste in what I have in my clipboard here. Just a bunch of auto-implemented properties for ID, make, model, and year, right? So far, nothing all that difficult. What I want to do now is go back into the code behind for the main page. And here's where I'm going to actually start creating some helper methods. For example, I'm going to create a helper method that will actually build an object graph for us. So we'll create a list of car, and I'm going to, as you can see, add three new instances of the car to the My Cars collection, and we'll return that to whoever calls this helper method as a list of car. All right. And so in this first example, I want to, in the write button, what I'm going to do is build the object graph and then write it to disk. And I'm not going to then perform the corollary to deserialize it back to an object graph. Instead, I'm going to read that file and I want to print out the contents of the file as is without deserialization, just so you can see the XML that's being written to file whenever we serialize it using the write button. All right. So the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a constant that will have the name of the XML file name because I'm going to use that in multiple method blocks. All right. And then what I want to do is I'm going to create one more helper method called write async. And I'm doing this for a reason. As you'll see in just a minute, we're going to do this multiple times with different implementations. And so it would just be easier for you after the fact to see these methods fully implemented, but not called from the event handler, than to implement all this code in the event handler for the buttons, for the button click events. All right. So as you can see, I've got some issues here. I'm going to put my mouse cursor on the data contract serializer and hit control period on the keyboard and add the using statement system.runtime.serialization. That will fix that problem. Application data.current, it doesn't recognize that. I'm going to have to add a using statement for that. So I'm hitting the control period on my keyboard to add the using windows.storage namespace. That should take care of just about everything. I'm going to also, it doesn't have the correct namespace for the task. And so control period, system.threading.tasks. And that should take care of that, and we're all set to go. That's great. I'm also going to implement one other helper method in order to make all this work, and that is the read. And so I'm just going to paste its definition here as well. It looks like we have all the namespaces intact. So let's take a look at what's actually going on here. So first of all, we're going to get a collection of cars, a list of car. And then we're going to call the data contract serializer, like we talked about earlier in this lesson, one of the two serializers that we're going to use. Its responsibility is to take an object graph and to serialize it into a stream, or to take a stream and deserialize it back out into an object graph. So what we're going to do first of all is, as you can see, we're going to give it the type that we want to work with. We're going to serialize the type of list of car. All right, and so now that we have a serializer that knows how to serialize type of car into a stream, we're going to then use this next line of code or this using statement. We're going to call the OpenStream for write async, giving it the name of the file that we want to create, which we, as you'll recall, we're going to call this data.xml, and we're going to say go ahead and replace data.xml if it currently exists. Now that we have our stream as the context for our using statement, it'll be closed whenever we get to the bottom of this using statement. So that's the purpose of this using construct. So we have our serializer that knows how to take an object graph and turn it into a type of list of car. And so what we want to do is take the file stream and write into it my cars. So it knows how to take my cars and serialize it into a file stream, and we're going to write that file stream into the stream that we've opened up here. Okay. And then when we're finished, we want to write to the text file and say that the write succeeded. Now we want to perform the corollary in the read XML async, which is to get the stream from the file, so give it the file name, open up that file and grab out the stream, And now, instead of deserializing it, we're just going to use a stream, a generic stream reader, and we're going to give it the stream so that it converts it essentially to a string that we can work with. And so it essentially converts it into something that we can work with to read out all the contents from that stream. And we say, reader, read to the end of that stream, and we will retrieve that out as a string that we can then print to our text block. All right. So the last thing we need to do is wire up our click events to the write XML async, or so here we go, write XML async. And you can see we'll get an error message because these are async. So we're going to need to do await, like so, which means that we're going to have to add the async keyword there, and that should work. And so we'll do the same thing here, async, and then we'll await the read XML async. All right, and if we've got everything right, when we run the app, first we'll write, we get the message that the write succeeded, and now when we read it from the file, you can see this is all the, maybe not all of it, it couldn't even fit here, but the XML that was saved to the file and then read back out. Awesome. Okay, so that worked well. We were able to see the XML that was saved, that the serialized list of car that was saved to disk, and then we read it back out and printed to screen. But in this series, we're going to use JSON as our serialization format of choice. I suppose there's nothing wrong with XML other than it being a bit verbose. Like if you compare what you'll see in the XML versus the JSON version, you'll see the JSON version is much more concise. And XML's kind of gotten a bad rap through the years. There's this joke, it goes something like this: I had a problem, and to solve it, I used XML, and now I have two problems. Okay, JSON seems to be the preferred data format de jure. It's less verbose, and it is the native format for JavaScript objects, and JavaScript seems to be all the rage right now. But other than that, I see no real technical reason to prefer one over the other. Nonetheless, we're going to be using JSON from here on out. So let's create two new helper methods. In fact, we'll start by actually creating another constant because we want to use a different file name. And then we're going to, I'm going to paste in two helper methods that I've already created. And this one will write JSON async, and this one will read JSON async. Now you'll notice that everything's good except we got to import or add a using statement for the data contract JSON serializer. So I put my mouse cursor there, hit control period on the keyboard, and then we're going to add the using statement system runtime serialization.json, and we're all good. Now, if you were to take a moment and compare what we've done here versus what we've done here, it's almost identical, and there's only one difference, and it's the class name. Data contract serializer produces XML. Data contract JSON serializer produces JSON. And so you can see this comment. Almost identical except for the serializer. This part is identical because we're just using stream reader to grab out the stream and read to the end of it to print that to screen. Awesome. So the last thing we'll need to do is just wire up our two new methods. So we'll comment out the old ones. And this time we're going to go await read, or I'm sorry, write JSON async. And then below that, and then we will read the JSON async, like so. And assuming we didn't introduce any errors, we'll run the application and see it work. Here we're going to write our object graph to the file, hopefully in JSON format. And here we're going to read it. And now you can see the JavaScript object notation. And it's much more concise. It all fit here in our text block. Awesome. But ultimately, what we want to do is work with an object graph, not just raw JSON like we saw on screen there. So I'm going to create one final helper method that will actually perform the deserialization, and we'll use that instead of this read JSON async helper method. So at the very bottom here, I'm just going to paste in this deserialized JSON async. You can see that, just to walk through it, first of all, we get our data contract JSON serializer involved again. We say we want to create a new instance of this specifically for list of cars. We're going to call this JSON serializer. This part works the same. We're still opening the stream for read async. But now whenever we get the stream in hand, we're going to call our JSON serializer dot read object passing in the stream, and we'll cast that to a list of car. And now what we'll do, that we have our my cars collection fully populated, the object graph has been rehydrated, I guess you can say, then we're going to just foreach through each of the instances of car and my cars, print those out in some format. You know, we're able to fully reference their properties just like we would had we never serialized them in the first place, and then we'll print that text block to screen. Whoops, and I forgot one final step. We got to actually reference this guy here in our reader. So let's go here, await, like so. I think that's all I need to do. Yeah, great. All right, so let's go ahead and write and then read it out. And now we have deserialized our JSON back into an object graph. Awesome. All right, so the biggest challenge in understanding the role of each is start that part over. Okay, so just to recap, really the biggest challenge here is understanding the role that each of these pieces play in the puzzle. If you don't fundamentally understand that there are four big parts, then you might be a little confused when you see and think, well, what do I need to do next? First of all, there's the object graph itself that you want to serialize. Then there's the serialization classes and methods that you'll need to use. You'll need to create a serializer for a specific data type. And then you'll need to, once you have a serialized object graph, you want to turn it into a stream and then write that stream to a file in the local folder. Or the reverse could be true. You'll read it out of a file out of the local folder, pull it into a stream, and then deserialize that stream into the object graph, okay, back and forth. And so once you understand that, then hopefully it won't be a mystery to you what you need to do next. Will become obvious. Hopefully you can remember, at least at a high level, the notion of serialization, because it plays a really big role whenever you're transferring data between layers in a distributed application, or whenever you're working with file formats like we've done in this lesson. And a good example of serialization and deserialization is data that's transferred over web services. A lot of that is taken care of for you kind of automatically by the plumbing that's built into the framework that you're using. But behind the scenes, there is serialization that's going on your object graphs in order to get it to transfer through the wire. Okay, so that's all I have for this lesson. We'll continue on in the next one. We'll see you there. Thank you.